Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Dr. Cynthia Collins, our guest today, Jane Decker. And we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends, our family, and our loyal listeners worldwide. A warm welcome to our show today, folks. It is about labyrinths. What is a labyrinth? How can it be a spiritual experience? How does it reflect the power of the present moment? Here, Dr. Cynthia Collins interviewed Jane Decker, who has a great deal of experience in working with people as they move through their labyrinths. Perhaps you will get inspired to move through yours. And without further ado, I bring to you Dr. Cynthia Collins, a wonderful leader, our special guest. Always happy to have you on our show, Dr. Collins.
Thank you so much, Joyce, and good morning. And good morning to Jane as well. Labyrinths are really very amazing, and I had known about them somewhat, but was reintroduced to them by Jane, and that's why I invited her to come on today for an interview. I just wanted to say to the guests who are tuning in at this time that there's so much to know about labyrinths, not only a little bit about where they came from, how they're used, but currently you'll find people associating health benefits, mindfulness benefits, and you can physically go to a labyrinth. It turns out you can even have one that's basically like a handheld labyrinth. I'm going to let Jane explain all of these things to you. So please hold your questions or let us know by pressing 1 when you're ready to ask a question. Jane and I met at a mutual volunteer event several months ago, and she introduced me to the labyrinth, a physical one. I went to it, and it was beautiful. It was so peaceful to walk the labyrinth, and there was beautiful stained glass in the room of the labyrinth, and beautiful light was coming through, and I began to wonder about, you know, why I hadn't been using a labyrinth myself and how it would be a benefit for me. So that's why I thought today would be a great thing to do, to explore that. So Jane is here with me, and good morning, Jane. Would you like to give the audience a little bit of introduction about yourself?
Of course, and thank you both for allowing me to represent the labyrinth. My name is Jane Decker, and I am a Veriditas Certified Labyrinth Facilitator.
Go ahead, Jane.
Thank you. During a retreat weekend in the very early hours of 2001, June, as a matter of fact, I began my labyrinth journey. I had picked up a brochure about labyrinths, and since I couldn't sleep, like many of this strange pattern, was very foreign, and like many of you, I wasn't quite sure what to do. Since I'd picked up this brochure, I kind of looked at it and was beginning to read it, and I thought, well, maybe I'll do what it says. So I began. I followed the path. It says you cannot get lost. Then it said breathe. Your tempo will find you. When you reach the center, stay or leave, stand or sit, breathe, return, follow the path. You cannot get lost. Breathe. Your tempo will find you. As I began, I became less apprehensive. I followed the path. I felt myself quiet. The tempo of my strides changed from short, quick, hurried, to longer, more rhythmic, one front foot in front of the other. Thoughts changing, sometimes no thoughts, just the rhythm of the walk. The center, how had I gotten here? Walked in, quiet, a few birds, the transition from early morning to daybreak had begun, and it was peaceful. I hadn't been peaceful in a very long time. Warm breeze and suddenly mist from the golf course sprinklers. Metaphor? I returned. I followed the path and I left the labyrinth. Literally, for 5 years. It wasn't until 2006 that I rediscovered the labyrinth. I was working at a treatment center and they were talking about building a labyrinth. And I thought, well, why not allow me to be certified and I will lead your walks? I became certified and they never built their labyrinth. I believe that introduction was some spiritual intervention. For today, I believe this strange pattern called labyrinth holds answers for personal nurturing in a world full of discord. So shall we begin with a poem? The poem is
Sounds good to me.
Vera?
I said sounds good to me. I love poetry.
I'm glad because I have several of them. And the one I'm going to begin with was written by Leah Good Harris, PhD. It's entitled Labyrinths. Pathways take us on a journey to ourselves and to far-off destinations when we circle around, around, and around until we discover where we are. Pathways take us to places just over there, very close to here, where the moment of breath, this moment of seeing the world from the twists and turns, catches in the secret folds of the heart. And our yearning for wholeness dances in the center place. A silent prayer that fills the sky with stars, suns, moons, and seasons spilling over the vast expanse of time, lighting the pathway home. That's my introduction to labyrinths.
That's beautiful. Very beautiful. And I'm glad that the reader, or the listener rather, is getting exposed to the feeling of some of the calmness of what you're doing when you do a labyrinth. Can you describe for someone who may not know what one was, what it looks like or what it is actually?
I'm going to, but if I may, I'd like to start with definitions, origins, and benefits before I get into talking about actual labyrinths and what they look like and what they are for.
Okay, so let's go with your definition then.
Okay. A labyrinth is a patterned path over circular in form, used as a walking meditation or spiritual practice. A labyrinth's walkway is arranged in such a way that the participant moves back and forth across the circular form through a series of curves, bending at the labyrinth's heart or center. It is unicursal, which means that it has only one entrance and leads in only one direction. Although the word maze is often used as a synonym for labyrinth, mazes are multicursal in design. The user has to make choices at many points along the path. Mazes often have more than one entrance and usually contain many wrong turns and dead ends. The English word labyrinth is derived from the Greek word labyrinthos, which in turn may come from labrys, the word of the double-headed axe associated with the Minoan culture on the island of Crete that was at its height around 1650 BC. According to Greek historian Herodotus, circa 450 BC, King Minos of Crete asked an Athenian architect and inventor named Daedalus. Now, all of this is mythology, so bear with me. To build a house with winding passages for the Minotaur, a monster, mythologically, that his queen had borne after having intercourse with a bull. This mythical Cretan labyrinth was actually a maze rather than a true labyrinth, as it was intended to prevent those who entered as human sacrifices to the Minotaur from escaping. The universal single path design associated with labyrinths are thought to predate constructed labyrinths. Pottery estimated to be 1,500 years old, painted with labyrinthine patterns, and has been discovered in the Ukraine. The oldest known constructed labyrinths were built in ancient Egypt and central Italy around 4,500 BC, perhaps to prevent evil spirits from entering tombs. It was thought that the evil spirits were repelled by the planned order of the labyrinth's design. Other labyrinths were made by the Romans as mosaic patterns on the floors of very large houses or public buildings. In these mosaic labyrinths were usually square in rectangle shape. The Romans also constructed turf labyrinths in fields of other open areas as a test of skill for horseback riders. Traces of Roman turf labyrinths have been found over all of Europe. And
wow.
Incidentally, they are current today as well.
Okay,
riders
now if you don't,
and their horses.
If I could just interject for a second here. Yeah, I like to summarize a little bit for the listener because I love the evolution you've just given us, starting first with the fact that a labyrinth is not a maze. I mean, they are inherently different, with mazes having more than one entry or exit and a lot of turns, and even confusion is what I think a lot of people feel about mazes. But a labyrinth, as you're saying, is universal, and it's one way in and one way out. It's an entirely different thing. I find it so fascinating that there is information about labyrinths in early Greek and Roman culture, especially Greek mythology, as you're saying. And then it kind of went into the Roman culture still with some of that symbolism regarding evil spirits and protection. And then look at how interesting that they began to put them on turf, because today we probably are doing more of that, I guess, from what I can tell. Is that true? We see more labyrinths actually on the ground now as opposed to them being something that's on the, like on tiles. Would you say that?
They can be both on the ground and physically on tiles in the ground or however they're built. I've built labyrinths on the shore so that as you build it backwards so that you can get in, and as you're coming out of the mat, the labyrinth, the tide is coming in and it washes away. So there is so much symbolism and so much to learn about them that
That's
I've
so
only begun.
Yeah, can we stop with just that one for a minute? I love that experience. So if someone's on the beach, right, or on the shore, and so they begin to build the water closer down to where the water is, I mean the labyrinth closer down to where the water is, and as you're backing up and you're building your labyrinth and making your way out, the tide is coming in and washing away like one concentric part at a time?
Pretty much. And
what
if you'd like
the,
to do one with me, I'll be happy to.
And what was the symbolism of that for you, or what might be the symbolism that someone would gain from that?
Oh, I would suggest maybe just leaving whatever you brought to the labyrinth in the labyrinth to be washed away. And so is that a symbolization for washing it out of, you know, what was that show, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair?
Oh, kind of like a cleansing or
yes,
that kind of thing.
I think that was South Pacific, I think.
You're right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad there's a team here.
Absolutely.
May I continue?
Sure. Please do.
Okay. Labyrinths have been found in many cultures around the world, including ancient India, Spain, Peru, and China. Members of the Pina tribes in southern Arizona have made baskets for centuries, decorated with the so-called man in the maze, unquote, design. The labyrinth pattern woven into the basket represents the path to the top of a local sacred mountain known as, and I'm going to spell it because I cannot pronounce it, Baboqueuivari. More than 500 ancient stone labyrinths have been identified in Scandinavia. Most are local, near the coast, and are thought to have been used for rituals intended to guarantee good fishing. What I like so much of all of this information is that nobody could have found out about it by the other person until very recently. So they keep popping up all over. Anyway, I shall continue. Hold on to that thought. The best-known labyrinths in the West, however, are those dating from the Middle Ages. They were built as substitutes for going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, a journey that was physically or economically impossible for most Christians in Western Europe during this period. Cathedrals were designed as pilgrimage shrines, and labyrinths were embedded in the stone floors of the cathedrals as part of the shrine's design. The labyrinth on the floor of the Chartres Cathedral in France was installed around AD 1200, and a similar labyrinth in Amiens Cathedral was made about the same time. Tracing the path through the labyrinth, often on the knees, was for many pilgrims a final act of devotion on the pilgrimage. The circuitous journey to the center of the labyrinth represented the many turnings in the journey of life, a journey that required the church's guidance and support. Medieval labyrinths were circular in shape, the circle being a universal symbol of wholeness, completion, and unity. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question. So, given especially what you've just shared, when you're guiding someone, you know, as a facilitator, when you're guiding someone on a labyrinth, what are some of the principles or concepts, like the ones you just spoke about, that you find that you use a lot?
May I get to that?
Excuse me?
May I get to that as I finish the history about them? May I come back to that?
Yeah, okay, let's just make sure we come back to that. What is it? What are you going to speak about
because
next?
I'm going to speak about 17th century.
Okay, let's hear about the 17th century labyrinth, and then we'll get some conversation going so we can get the people who are listening in. Okay, 17th century.
However, many cathedral labyrinths were removed or destroyed. There is some disagreement about scholars regarding the reasons for the removal. Some experts think that the labyrinths were removed because the cathedral clergy had forgotten their history and original purpose, while clergy had forgotten. Others speculate that they were destroyed to prevent children from playing on them during Mass and disturbing worship. Another factor was the growth of rationalization in the 17th century and the hostility toward religion that emerged during the French Revolution. At the end of the 18th century, the labyrinths were regarded as remnants or superstition and therefore offensive to quote-unquote enlightened people. A contemporary revival of interest in labyrinth walking began in the early 1990s when Dr. Lauren Artress, a psychotherapist who was on the special ministry staff of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, attended a mystery seminar led by Jean Houston, who described herself as a scholar and researcher in human capacities and directs the Foundation of Mind Research in Pomona, New York. Dr. Houston presented the labyrinth as a tool for spiritual growth that would lead the seminar participants to their spiritual center. She had taped the 44-foot-wide pattern of the Chartres Cathedral Labyrinth on the floor of the meeting room. Dr. Artres felt drawn to return to the labyrinth later that night and found walking through it a powerful experience. She then made a pilgrimage to Chartres itself in 1991, following by further research into the history and significance of labyrinths. After returning to the United States, Dr. Artres made a canvas version of the Chartres Labyrinth for use in San Francisco Cathedral. It was introduced to the public on December 30, 1991, and was used twice a month until 1995, when a permanent outdoor labyrinth made of terrazzo was laid in the cathedral's outdoor garden. There are many benefits which we can talk about. I wanted to talk, or at least begin a little bit about Dr. Artres.
Well, let me hear a little bit about the significance of what you just said. Is that significant for the history of labyrinths, or do you think that's significant for how we use labyrinths, or in what way?
I think that the labyrinth does not engage our thinking minds.
Mm-hmm.
It invites us out of it invites our intuitive, path-seeking, symbolic mind to come forth.
Mm-hmm.
So people have looked at different kinds of labyrinths, especially the one that is most popular worldwide, called the Cretan labyrinth. It looks
mm-hmm.
you can suggest that it looks like a brain.
Okay.
And you can take that and add to it non-thinking and thinking. We're coming from right brain to left brain or left brain to right brain, whichever it starts,
mm-hmm.
it seems to be able to bring calm as you continue to walk the labyrinth
mm-hmm.
to where we are. And I find that to be so beneficial
mm-hmm.
in our world today.
Mm-hmm. Almost like the mindfulness. Go ahead. Well, almost like the mindfulness, a couple of things I read up on the labyrinths indicated they're using them even in colleges and other places because and some, you know, people who are studying mindfulness now, like Herbert Benson, they talk about walking meditations, and they find that the labyrinth is a – now we're kind of marrying that or bringing it together with the whole idea of mindfulness. So with the Cretan labyrinth, is that spelled C-R-E-T-I-N, if someone wants to look it up, C-R-E-T-I-N?
A-N.
A-N, okay.
C-R-E-T-A-N.
T-A-N, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So with that – if you're saying that it's more about your symbolic mind and not so much your cognitive or intellectual mind, how do you help a person to get started so that they do find they're using their symbolic mind or tapping into it?
I think they just have to begin. When I talk about the Cretan labyrinth, the last sentence that I will, and I'll say it again at the end, the Cretan looks like the cross-section of a human brain
mm-hmm.
and has therefore been used effectively to assist those with dyslexia, ADHD, neurological disorders,
mm-hmm.
children with all kinds of whatever problems they are having.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. But most of our information is has not been verified.
Okay. So this is basically anecdotal information, stories or experiences that people are offering of how it has affected
yes.
them or their children.
Yes.
Which is very valid in its own way, of course.
Of course. And if we have time, I have a story to read you about a woman and her addiction to food.
Okay.
Anyway.
So,
go ahead.
Well, just so that I make sure we do get to it also, are there any Cretan labyrinths in Florida where we are that some of our listeners would want to know about?
I would suggest to all of your listeners to go onto the labyrinthsociety.org and to go to the part that has labyrinth locator.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is put in zip codes. I know that there is a labyrinth, but I don't remember whether it's – no, I don't remember. I'm sorry. I don't remember whether it's the Cretan or not.
That's okay.
Or at Florida Atlantic University's School of Nursing.
Mm-hmm.
A little further north, there in the Duncan Center, which is the Episcopal Retreat Center, it has two labyrinths, one in the back and one in their chapel that is a complete replica of the Chartres Labyrinth in Chartres, France. Mm-hmm. And it is 42 feet in diameter.
So that and means it's the exact same size as the one in France?
Yes. Those labyrinths, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Chartres labyrinths are mm-hmm. made using ancient geometric formulas.
Okay.
So they're all the same.
Okay.
The one that you walked is a five circuit,
mm-hmm.
but it's identical.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't. It doesn't have all of the go arounds or paths. That makes sense?
Yeah. So it actually. So the main part of the labyrinth is a replica, even in size. It's not a miniature or anything like that.
No.
Okay.
It is.
Jane, I would like to hear the story about addiction, and I'd also like to know, are there health benefits? I'm sure that's connected to the addiction part.
It is, and I will read some of the benefits and then read the story about addiction, all right?
Go ahead.
How do you want it? You want me to read the story first?
Yeah, because you referenced it already, so I'd like to hear what it is.
Okay. I can find it. Everything's on my table. Sure.
Are the health benefits more accessible? Then do that first.
They are. Specific benefits
that
some people have experienced as a result of walking labyrinths include answers to or insights for personal problems or circumstances, a general sense of inner peace or calm, emotional healing from past abuse or other traumas, a sense of connection to or unity with past generations of pilgrims or family ancestors, reawakened interest in their specific religious tradition, great awareness of their own feminine nature or the feminine principle in nature, often associated with circular shapes and patterns, stimulation of their imagination and creative powers, improved ability to manage chronic pain, and faster healing following an injury or surgical procedure. Again, most of these are anecdotal, so I cannot, they're unproven, but people will stand and speak to you directly from their hearts saying, I was cured or I was healed or whatever it was. So it's difficult for me to say maybe it was something that should happen.
All right, in a moment we'll come back to the story about addiction because you just shared the health benefits, and I want to share with our listeners the health benefits of listening to our show every day. And here in the words of our health guru, here's why.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy. Make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce Barry and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, I want to share with you how you can partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to the homepage of Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and friends.com. And on the upper left, right under my picture, it says follow. And simply by clicking on that, you can join the thousands of loyal listeners who really do want to know about our show, our guests, our topics, and you will be apprised by email. So you need not miss any of our special shows. When you cannot join us when we are live at 11 a.m. Eastern, you can go to our archives 24/7 and you can download any show. You can play it at your convenience. You can email the links. So do become a loyal follower of our show. We love our followers. And while you're at it, you can follow me on Facebook, Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and Twitter. As I said, we love our followers, and you'll love that you won't miss any of our extraordinary guests like world-renowned psychic Peter Marks and world-renowned healer Dr. Bernie Siegel and so many others that are best-selling authors and world business leaders. Okay, back to you, Jane. What is that story on addiction?
Well, if I could find it, I'd read it to you. Unfortunately, I cannot. So I keep looking and we will move forward.
Okay, that's a good idea. While we're moving forward, Dr. Collins, why don't you share your website so people can get more information about you?
Okay, great. All right. My website is www.creationbalance, just run the two words together, .com. And I can also be reached at 561-376-0084. And I'd like to introduce a new website today as well that has to do with these extremely good organic products that I have come to use and am endorsing as well. And it includes essential oils, too. Get to the website, see what you think. And this one I'll spell out for you. It's Essant. It's ESSANTEorganics.com. Then to reach my site, put /GoGreenWithCindy. So that's the way you reach my website. Take a look at those products and see what you think. Should we move back to, or we take some calls from, or some
wait,
questions from
the audience?
Wait
one moment. Let me just repeat that. Cindy,
okay.
People don't get it the first time. By the time they grab the pen, they don't get it.
Okay.
So the website is called Essante, E-S-S-A-N-T-E, organics.com. /GoGreenWithCindy. And I just want to share with you folks that I introduced Dr. Collins to this company because for years I've been using their products each and every month. They are healthy, non-toxic, fully organic, and I love them. Makes me feel good, look good, and it's certainly very healthy. So that's why we're sharing it with you so you too can be included. Okay, Dr. Collins, what did you want to go back to now?
Well, I thought if we had anybody in the queue, it would be nice to hear any comments or questions if they have any.
Okay, all right, we could do that. 561-271, that would be Marlene from Boca. Did you want to share anything or ask a question?
Yes, I'd like to ask a question.
Well, please go ahead. Marlene, please ask your question.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question.
Okay.
About the health benefits.
Okay, we just answered that before the radio
right.
announcement. Okay, 561-376. What is your name and where are you calling from? Okay, she just wants to, or he wants to be in the queue and not speak. All right, that was a good idea, Dr. Collins. We have silent listeners.
Yeah,
Let's
think Marlene was about to ask a specific question, no? kind of
you want me
like
to go back? I
yeah,
will, but she just said
she
health benefits.
That.
Okay,
yeah,
and we
just
covered that.
She's just a slow speaker, yeah.
Go
yes,
ahead, Molly. You have a specific question?
Thank you. Yes, as a breast cancer survivor, where could I go to one of these labyrinths, and how long, I mean, does somebody guide you along, or they talk to you, do they play music, is it, or could you just go and make an appointment? I just wanted to know that information.
Where are you? Where do you?
I'm near FAU. I don't live far from FAU.
I don't know how often the labyrinth in the School of Nursing is open, but you could certainly call them. And since it's at the School of Nursing, I would think that they would have someone there who does have information about labyrinths. Does that help
and when you?
Yes.
And when when you go there, does somebody like walk with you and explain what this is, or how long does it take to go through it? Do they play music? Do you go by yourself? Do you go in a group?
Actually, all of those things work. I don't mean to be. I don't know.
You
can do most anything on a labyrinth. I mean, they're just amazing. You can go by yourself. You can take a friend. And it's not hard. They're on the most of them are on the floor. I think all of them are on the floor. Although occasionally you'll find one that's on a wall that somebody has put up. And that would be a finger labyrinth as opposed to a foot labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
But when you walk them, you're always walking the same path. You begin. You go follow the path. Eventually, it will get you into the center. And you can stay in the center, leave if you want, and then you come back out, and you kind of sit and maybe meditate. Maybe you're calm by that time. I find that labyrinths are very calming, especially when I'm in traffic going somewhere and I finally get to it and I grab my computer or my hand labyrinth or I'm at my destination and I can go in and walk the labyrinth, and it's marvelous. But
okay.
As I said earlier, I think that's what people are doing. Go online. Cyberspace is the best way to find out information on labyrinths.
Okay.
And
sounds
for
like
location, you can check labyrinthsociety.org where you put in your zip code. And for people who don't know how to spell labyrinth, it's tricky. LabyrinthS. Okay, so thank you for calling in, Marlene.
Thank you for the information.
And Dr. Decker, is there any way people can connect with you? Are you on Facebook, Twitter, or have a website?
First of all, I'm not a doctor. I'm a communicator who has been certified through Vitas Hospice to be a hospice chaplain, and I do that kind of work. I do that with labyrinths, especially finger labyrinths. And what else do? I visit people if someone wants to be visited, but rarely do I do that.
Gotcha.
So my go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what are the misconceptions that people have about labyrinths? Oftentimes when you hear something, there's always the naysayers. What do you hear from the naysayers?
I think the most common thing, and there's a movie out now about mazes, I believe. Am I correct? Well, whether I'm correct or not, it doesn't really matter. I think people find them to be frightening. And I'm not so sure that that doesn't have something to do with whether you are male or female, or whether you are trying to walk a specific labyrinth and it just doesn't feel right for you.
What movie did you reference?
I don't know.
You just
referenced the current one, I think. I don't
What's the name
movie,
of it?
I saw some. I have no idea. But it's playing today. Or
a
now.
Movie. That's called I Have No Idea, but it is. The good news is it's playing today. The bad news is we don't know the name of it. Okay. Folks, if you want to find out more about it, do what I did. I was very unfamiliar. I knew what a labyrinth is, but I had no idea these ramifications of it. And if you want to look into it, for those of you who will get to it someday, I wrote this for all of you who actually believe there is a someday. Someday, an original poem by yours truly, Joyce Barry. I went to my calendar and took a look. I discovered that someday was not in the book. I looked carefully, for someday I did seek, but only Monday through Sunday appeared on each week. I got really confused. This was not funny. I always said someday I'd make very good money. I always said someday I'd get everything done. I always said someday I'd be number one. I always said someday this and someday that. Someday is starting to sound like very old hat. I became very sure that something was wrong. No someday on my calendar all along. I thought everything I wanted would come to be. It would happen someday, I kept telling me. It was someday, I kept telling you, that all our dreams were sure to come true. How shocking to discover that all along, someday was not in the calendar. How could I be so wrong? How could I not know that why I was stuck was that someday would never, ever show up? There wasn't a calendar anywhere, none to be found, that had someday in it. It would never come around. I always knew that if something is going to be, I am totally responsible. It's all up to me. I thought of my goals and made a new list. How exciting to realize that someday did not exist. Now I really know without any doubt that Monday through Sunday is in and someday is out. So I ask you, women, I ask you, men, I ask myself, if not right now, when? Jane, what advice do you want to give our listeners as regards to Labyrinth, like where to start? Do you want them to connect with you? What do you want our listeners to know?
Well, I would like our listeners to know that it is something not to be afraid of, that if they do a little research on the internet, the Chartres Cathedral Labyrinth, there's a wonderful book they can go on and read. It's called Labyrinths, Information, Ideas, and Activities. It shows Chartres Labyrinths that you can buy labyrinths on their site. There's another site that has a Corian Labyrinth handheld that will allow you to just have it. It's because it's Corian, you can put it in the dishwasher and it can always be sanitized. And that's something that is available to people, again, on the internet. So,
do you have that website for purchase? You're telling people to go on the website. Do you have the name of the website?
The one with the Corian labyrinth is called DixieandGrace.com.
Is it D-I-X-I-E and Grace, G-R-A-C-E?
Correct.
Okay, that's the one for purchase of the handheld one, Dixie
and
Grace. And
the other one is a company called Relax for Life, and their website is relax4life.com. They have wonderful, wonderful things for children, for adults. It's a charming, they can get their little book. It's charming. It has all the information. It's called Labyrinth Information, Ideas, and Activities. Neil Harris is brilliant. He's done a lot of research. And he, like many people in the Labyrinth Society, are looking for ways to engage other people in the labyrinth, because we all believe that this world we live in is so difficult and hard and anxious, and we don't really know what's happening. And so it's time for us to be able to find places that are quiet. If you are able to go to the Duncan Center in Del Rey, the chapel there is beautiful inside, and the labyrinth is huge, and you can go with groups, and they often have labyrinth walks there. If you would like to contact me, I'm here in Palm Beach Gardens. My labyrinth is at St. Mark's Episcopal Church. It is outside the perimeter of our school, so it's open 24/7. It's right across the street from Gardens Hospital. If people are interested in having me do walks for them or provide information for them, I will be happy to do that. My email address is all lowercase scholar, scholarmom1@aol.com. Anything else you'd like from me except an ending to this story?
That's up to you, Dr. Collins. How do you want to close this out with Jane?
Well, how much more time do we have? I did have another topic I had hoped to get on to. We have another five minutes.
Yeah, of course.
A quarter of 11. Go.
Okay. So and one of my readings about labyrinths, especially using them with younger people, I noticed they were talking a lot about not just the spiritual or physical healing, but a lot that had to do with psychological healing. And I'll quote here that they say here that these goals of self-reflection include enhancing self-awareness, which includes deeper knowledge of oneself, creating a greater awareness of emotional states, and creating a greater awareness of how one's beliefs and life situations elicit these states. So that's a big piece of psychological care, is being able to be in tune with your emotions and then be in control of your emotions and, really just to get a deeper understanding of oneself. I also found a quote that said, the point of a maze is to find its center, but the point of a labyrinth is to find your center. So I was wondering if either based on the work that you began to talk about with addictions or the work that you've done with any other kind of person, if you could relate any of that to some of what you've done and give some advice to the listener.
I can relate it to addiction because I have done labyrinth walks for addiction facilities. My hope is that people who are addicted to whatever it may be, addiction has a lot of following for it, whether it's food or shopping or alcohol or whatever. If one uses the concept of Alcoholics Anonymous, the first three steps are I came to believe. And that literally is what a labyrinth is. I came. I walked into the labyrinth. I walked around. I was in the, now I'm in the center. So I came to. And as I stay in the center and quiet my mind, and as I'm walking out, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. If you do that with a group of people who are also addicts or overeaters or whatever, it becomes like a concept for a small, what is it called? Just lost that thought. Anyway, you can do them together, and it's like being on a ropes course. You have to trust the other people with you, because labyrinths look so strange, they are so strange, and why would I even be doing this in the first place? But if you can trust each other and do it together, you have someone who you can take with you, maybe not physically, but certainly emotionally and intellectually, and be in touch with when you leave the treatment center. Because when you leave a treatment center, you've done your 30 days or 60 days or however many there are. Mm-hmm. And now you're on your own. So what are you going to do? You're going to find people you know. And the hardest thing to do is to go to a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest thing to do is to find your companions who you knew before you came in. So there sets the wheel for returning to whatever your drug of choice is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vicious cycle. And if we can
So, Jane, I know you don't have that story, but was that the gist of it about finding support, getting a companion? Was that the message of the story?
Yes.
Okay.
It is the message of the story. And absolutely, it's truly my message. I cannot tell you how many people I know who have an addiction. Nobody wants to talk about them. They're the big white elephant that sits in the living room. We can all talk about our diseases, cancer, whatever your disease. Addiction is a disease, whether it's overeating or drinking or whatever it may be. You're hooked on something. And until we can sit and talk openly about our disease, it's like trying to talk to people about dying, which is just as difficult and just as important to take to the labyrinth. So...
Well, the
I'm
thing
sorry,
that
I
always recommend,
got on my soapbox.
Recommend with things like that is a serenity prayer, which is stated at the start of all the AA meetings, people hold hands, by Reinhold Niebuhr. He lived from 1892 to 1971. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship says the pathway to peace, taking as he did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. And it did remind me that first paragraph about a labyrinth, the second paragraph, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. From what I understand about the value of the labyrinth is being in the moment, not looking behind you from the steps you've already taken, not looking ahead of you, but just being with that step in that moment. Would you say that's a fair way of putting it?
Yes, and I would also add to that, you're the first person I have met who knows that the Serenity Prayer has more than one verse.
That's very funny.
Anyway.
Okay. Folks, again, this was a very informative show. I learned a lot from it. And if you're going to take steps to learn your part, then the question I ask you is, if not now, when? Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration, achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation to get healthy and off that medication? To get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not, now, when? Before we get to wrapping up the show, you'll hear from all of us. 414-303, what's your name and where are you calling from? 414-303, you are in the host queue. What is your name and where are you calling from? Okay. And she or he is in the host queue. All right. So we'll go to...
My name is Carmen.
What is
Sorry,
it?
I didn't... Carmen.
Carmen from where?
From Florida.
Okay. And you know Dr. Collins?
Yes.
Okay, do you have a question or something you want to share?
No, I was just listening to the advisors. They're very good. They help.
Okay, so I do hope they make an impact in your life. Thank you for calling in, Carmen from Florida. Okay, Jane, what do you want to say to wrap up?
What do I want to say to wrap up? I think this little poem wraps it up for me. Life is like a labyrinth. Whatever path you are on a path. Sometimes it may feel like you're going in circles, and then you turn the corner, and you're closer to your goal. The journey is just as important as the destination. Weather happens, and the terrain may be rocky. Seasons come and go. In all these things, you get to choose if you'll smile on your path and who you'll share your journey with. May your path bring you beauty, joy, and much, much love and laughter. That's by Haley Chambers from Virginia. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of the show. As you could tell, I think labyrinths are my passion, and I enjoy the ability to talk about them whenever I can get a moment. So thanks again. Do you have
any questions? Thank you for joining us. And Dr. Collins, what do you want to say?
Thank you, Jane, for everything that you shared. It was a very nice broad amount of history and purpose of the labyrinth and also the essence of it, which is what I'm hoping the listener is taking home. So anyone who's interested in finding their center and enjoying a labyrinth, learning more about it, please contact Jane Decker for more information, especially if you're here in Florida where she is. And thank you, Joyce, for this opportunity.
And anything else you want to say to wrap up with our listeners? Any message you have to impart?
No, not today. I can't think of anything else. Thank you.
Okay, so my concluding message is my special prayer for all of you. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And folks, we do hope that you got value out of this show. Pass it on to someone else. You can go to our archives and download it. Send out the links. Let people know about it. We invite you to go out and make someone happy today. Go do a random act of kindness. Pay it forward. And we strive to make you happy every day. And in that spirit, we invite you to sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. And you can do that right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mash. Thank you, and God bless you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop, I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow. Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.